Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. This is my brother Daryl, and this is my other brother Daryl. And you're listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
Hi, this is Bobby Campo from Grey's Anatomy and Being Human. You are listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
What do you want to do? Just like you're listening to. Hi, I'm Ty Olson. You're listening to Cougar Chat Radio.
Hello, Cougars. This is Sebastian Roche from Supernatural, and I listen to Cougar Chat Radio.
Okay, that was fierce.
Hello, everyone. This is Irony Singleton of The Walking Dead. I play T-Dog, and you are here with the Cougar Chat Radio.
Hello, this is Jason Gates from Haunted Collector, and you're watching Cougar Chat Radio.
If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jody Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show!
Hey, and welcome to Cougar Chat Radio. I am your host tonight, Michelle. Some of the other ladies couldn't make it tonight, so I'm hanging on my own with my fabulous guest tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking to Icon Builder Media's David T. Fagan. David is an award-winning marketing and media expert His current clients include everyone from Paul Stanley with Kiss to Beverly Hills restaurants like Natalie Tai. In recent months, his organizations have represented Brian Tracy, the motivational speaker, and Jump Jet, which is a private jet company. Previous years, his client list has included 34 Grammy winners, 44 New York Times bestsellers, 58 Academy Award winners, and INC 500 companies. David has also written several books, including his most recent success, Cracking the Icon Code. And I believe that was co-authored with Jay Conrad. Now, he is married. He has a lovely wife and 8 children. So please welcome David T. Fagan. Hey, David, how you doing tonight? David?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I was like, okay, wait a minute.
I just wanted you to know what it was like to really be alone.
Thanks a lot.
just you thought you were David. One person, you're down to just nothing but yourself there for a second.
Well, usually I am by myself for at least 10 minutes, so I'm, like, super excited that you called in right at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I wanted to hear as much as I could, and I've been doing a little, research and stuff, so I heard that you might not have everybody here, so I'm here for you. Are you ready?
Good. I am glad, because I am ready, too. So, first of all, I got to ask, 8 children?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? That's what everybody wants to know. Yeah, so, we kind of come from big families, but, yeah, only one wife, no multiples, just the good old-fashioned way. My oldest is 16, and my youngest is 2.
I was going to ask the ages. You could have your ball team.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, it goes 3 girls and then 4 boys and then a girl. And so their ages are 16, 14, 12, 11, 9, getting ready to turn 7, 4, and 2.
So by the way the numbers are rolling there, I'm going to say you're due for a 9th one.
No, thank you. We're done. Yeah, we're done. For sure. But yeah, it's about every 2 years.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have a big family. I mean, my family's not that big. I have 3 siblings, so. But my mom's family, they all come from large, like 14 brothers and sisters. So.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's old school. That's old days, you know?
Yeah.
It was different. So I wanted to tell you, I was like checking out your stuff, and I came across quotes that you have done. And I love these quotes. One of them was, practice and preparation will deliver calmness and confidence in a moment of fierce execution.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. Is there one quote that you could say to sum up your life experience?
Well, I think the one that gets repeated the most is, dreaming is good, doing is better. And
that was
one of the controversial things. Yeah, one of the controversial things that I've done is I kind of challenge the dreamers, and I even joke around I don't really like dreamers, and it kind of gets a certain response and kind of gets people fired up. But the truth is, I'll take a doer over a dreamer any day. And there's a lot of people out there dreaming, but it's really the ones that are taking action, the ones that are actually trying and, kind of going to that first quote, they're really, practicing and preparing, because that's really the definition of success, is when preparation meets opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity, that's success. So, we got to take action. We got to do.
I completely agree with you there. I see so many people just like, well, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And 2 weeks later, they haven't touched anything. It's still there. And I tend to take it upon myself to do something about it then.
Yeah.
You know, if I sit back and it's like, okay, I'm going to let you play and you run your thing like you want to, and then when they just let the ball roll, I'll just catch the ball and just take it then. But that looks better for me. So, you know. All right.
Like,
I wanted to... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I speak at a lot of events, and I get a lot of people that come up to me afterwards, and they want to tell me about their big ideas and their big plans, which is, it's always nice. It's always interesting to hear what people are working on. And, you know, I generally will just have a few follow-up questions, you know, of what have you done today, or what have you done last week, what have you done last month, what are you going to do tomorrow, what are you going to do in the next week, what are you going to do the next month? And maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but I think most people would be surprised about how passionate people are about, you know, these ideas that they have, yet how, you know, little action, you know, they actually take. And I think when I was younger, you know, you hear people and you want to help them instinctually, and you start to learn that, you know, do you help the people who want the help, or do you help the people who need the help? And I think that, you know, sometimes we want to just, you know, we see somebody who needs help, and so we want to help them, but really we have to help the people who want the help and who are trying to help, you know, themselves. And this is really common in business and in success, and so I think it's something that I'm sure you can relate to.
Now, there is something that I keep saying I'm going to do, and I have yet to do it. And I'll tell you just because, you know, you hear it all the time. But there is I want to do a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
And back in 1990, I wrote a song for my son when he was a baby, and like a lullaby. And I want to put that lullaby into a book. So I'm just sitting on it right now because I've got so many other things on my plate that I've got to do, I need to get done. But I will get back to doing that. Now, I have gone, and I have drawn the pictures that I want for it. You know, mm-hmm. I've got a band behind me that has agreed to do the music for the song, you know. So, but everything's on the back burner. So I can see it on both sides. Like, it's not going to get done until I do it.
Well, you're at a very interesting point that I think a lot of people can relate to. And, you know, my advice in situations like that is, in order for something new to live, something old must die. You know, people like me and you, we're always busy. We always have something going on. And one of the mistakes that some people will make is they'll just try to add another thing and try to add another thing. And it just doesn't work that way. So you're being very intelligent by saying, hey, look, you know, these are my priorities right now. And that's, you know, that's what you've got to do, because you are so busy. If and when you say, okay, it's time to do this book, you know, you're going to have to probably stop doing something that you're doing right now. And I spend time with people going through what I call a project pruning exercise, where you sit down and you kind of figure out, you know, what's going to take you the least amount of time, what's going to make you the most money, what are you going to love the most. You know, there's a certain amount of questions you can ask yourself to help you sort of prune your priorities and pick your projects. And it sounds like that's what you've done, and you've come up with, hey, look, now is not the time for the book, but you know, hopefully when I maybe finish some of these other projects or some of these other businesses, I get them to a certain point, then I will have the time, and then this might be the next, you know, priority for me.
Yeah, that's great. I feel so much better now. I was like, it's kind of like I made the right decision, you know?
Well, absolutely. You know, just as much as I'm giving people a hard time for, you know, just dreaming, you know, even more importantly is picking priorities. You know, I may give people a hard time about that, but it's so much more important to, you know, pick the priorities, because, you know, there's a great saying, you know, you can do anything you want, you just can't do everything you want. You can do anything you want, you just can't do everything you want. And that's the truth, you know. So you've had to sit down and figure that out.
I was just telling a friend of mine literally like 3 days ago, I need to live like 5,000 lives to do everything I want. You know, I'm going to have to keep coming back to finish. There's so many things I want to try and do, and it's like there is not enough time in one lifetime to do everything that I want to do.
So, that's true.
So what would you, how would you describe the meaning of icon to someone who is totally clueless?
Sure. Well, an icon is somebody who ultimately has fans. You know, they have a lot of fans. And these fans will celebrate them, you know, without any help from the icon themselves, meaning that even after the person might pass away, people will still, you know, celebrate the things that they did, the things that they taught. So, you know, Princess Diana is an icon. Michael Jackson's an icon. Even someone like Mother Teresa is an icon. You know, even somebody, you know, like Confucius or, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, all these people are people that even after they're gone, people choose to celebrate them, to follow what they taught, and they have fans. And I think how you get fans is you give, you serve, and you share. Give, serve, and share. And that's kind of what we do with people. We work with people in the advice business. We work with people in the entertainment, you know, business. And we help them build a movement of fans. And there's a lot of strategy that goes into that. And, you know, I like to ask people, you know, three questions. I have kind of this ICE acronym that's changing people's lives and making them a lot of money. And the three questions are, would you make more money if you were more influential? Would you make more money if you had more credibility? And would you make more money if you had more exposure? And that's the ICE acronym. You know, if you answer yes to any one of those questions, then, you know, you would be more successful if you had somewhat of an icon status, meaning that, you know, you have a lot of fans, people that follow you and want to hear from you and they want to listen to your radio show or they want to read your books. You know, if they want to hear you speak, you know, if they follow you, if they buy your products, if they buy your services. So that's really what an icon is to me.
All right. Now, is there anyone that – can you help anyone? Or has there ever been one person that just could not be helped, whether they failed to change the way they – presented something or what has there been like a failure? That's awful to say, but.
Well, there's a couple different ways to answer that. I mean, first of all, you know, there are a lot of people out there that don't need to be an icon in their industry. You know, somebody who's being mom at home doesn't need fans. You know, they don't,
right.
You know, they
right.
don't need to have, you know, all these things. You know, somebody that's working on a team in a factory, they're working at Intel or Microsoft or whatever. You know, they don't need to be an icon. You know, they're a part of a body of a movement. So first of all, it does kind of pertain more to talent. You know, like a singer or an actor or an artist, or it refers more directly to somebody who gets paid for the advice they give. So. Someone who gets paid for advice they give would be more like an attorney, a CPA, a realtor, a plastic surgeon, you know, high-end, you know, banker, an architect, you know, all these kinds of things. You know, these people, they need to have a really good, you know, image. Now, are there people that we've worked with in the entertainment industry and in the business world that are really tough to help? Absolutely. You know, there's been some real, you know, PR nightmares, and that's one of the things we deal is, you know, in PR, and we've represented some pretty, you know, successful people. And yeah, some of these people, you know, they just either A, they just don't get it, or B, they just don't care. And I guess that's good in a way. I guess it gives me a job. I guess it gives me something to do.
Right.
But some of these people, they don't understand that, you know, it's really the fans. You know, if they don't have fans, if they don't have somebody, you know, watching their movies or buying their records or watching them on TV or, you know, following them online, you know, if they don't have people doing that, guess what? You're not relevant. And in this day and age, you got to stay relevant if you want to be profitable, you know, in your industry. And so, you know, there's people out there that they get so many fans, then we see them just kind of doing crazy stuff. Miley Cyrus, Justin yes. Bieber, Kim Kardashian. Some of these people, they have so many fans, they can alienate quite a few of them and still be okay. But sometimes you kind of scratch your head and you say, geez, I wonder if they really know who's signing their paycheck.
Right. And all three that you mentioned, you picked the three best ones.
Yeah, but well, I mean, again, those are probably some of the ones that people ask me about the most.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel bad for Justin. I think he's going to be one of those 27 clubs, if unfortunately, like young people that pass away in their early 20s, you know?
He's
just self-destructive.
Justin, Miley, you know, there's a lot of them that they reach a very difficult, you know, point. You know, Zac Efron has been in that crew. Here's what happens is they're essentially childhood stars or teenage stars, and their fans kind of have to change. You know, they get older, and so their fans, you know, are also getting, are staying the same age, essentially, 13, 14, 15, whatever. And so now there's somebody else that they like because they want to like somebody that's, you know, in their age group. And so what happens is these people have to reinvent themselves. And so to find an adult group or to stay more relevant, you know, with older people, maybe in their 20s or 30s, you know, you'll see, you know, like Britney Spears shaves her head. Guess what? Miley Cyrus shaves her head. That seems to be a popular thing with the good girls to kind of break that teenage good girl image is to shave your head, you know. But basically they're all trying to do the same thing, and that is they're trying to find a different fan base. They're trying to become, you know, relevant. And let's face it, there's very, very few teenage stars that can stay the same and still be as successful. It just doesn't happen. They all have to evolve. Justin Timberlake did an amazingly great job at it. I mean, he just nailed it, you know. It looks like Zac Efron, he might pull it out. He might be okay. But very few people can do it. Probably one of the greatest examples of all time was Michael Jackson. You know, he was a childhood star, and somehow, you know, he continued to evolve his sound and his brand, and he was able to find a worldwide audience.
I hate to break into our conversation, but we do have somebody on hold. So I'm going to pull them in and see if someone has a question for you. Hi, welcome to Cougar Chat. You're on with Michelle and David. You have a question for David? Hello?
Oh, maybe not.
I reckon not. Okay. Sorry about that. That happens
no,
once in
okay.
a while. So, all right. Let's see. Maybe for those who don't know, what exactly I know because I've read up on you and everything, but for the people listening who don't know, what is it that you do day in and day out?
Okay, sure. Well, again, we work with people that are in the advice business. These are business people making money, giving them their advice, and I gave some examples of that earlier. And then we're also working with talent. And so, again, talent, you know, can be musicians, actors, you know, it can be hosts. It can be we have clients who are stunt men, stunt women. But basically, you know, our job is to get them out in the media, get them on TV, you know. We also work with, you know, nonprofit organizations. So, you know, we represent the Trans-Siberian Orchestra on their 80-city winter tour. So we just got them on Kelly and Michael. You speak Kelly and Regis. You know, we're booking these people on the media. You know, we just booked someone on Anderson Cooper. We just got someone in the Wall Street Journal. We just got one of our clients in Fortune Magazine. So that's one thing we do is we book them in media. The other thing we do is we build websites. We help with their social media. We'll have branding sessions. Sometimes we'll help them write books. Maybe we'll help them get into magazines or start their own magazine. But it's a lot of helping people monetize their knowledge and their experiences. So we might take a celebrity who's, you know, really good on TV, and then they say, hey, you know, I want to make more money. I've got this great brand, and, you know, I want to, you know, create my own fragrance, or I want to start my own clothing line, or I actually do art on the side, and I want to sell some of my art. And so we'll help them, you know, with kind of their entrepreneurial spirit and help them build out, you know, whatever they've already started with. So our clients are typically already people who are fairly successful. They're on TV. They've written bestsellers. Maybe they've been in the movies. You know, they have fairly big musical careers and tours.
But they want to stay there.
Right. How do they stay there? And then how do they create other multiple streams of income? So it's like they got one stream of income, but now how do we get multiple streams of income? And, you know, the biggest and best stars, you know, they do really well at that and having all these different types of brands.
Right. When did you realize you wanted to be a salesperson, to put it mildly? When did you think you wanted to do this?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, it's funny. I was one of those kids growing up where my teachers always told me talking would get me nowhere. Right. So, you know, I think I was like a lot of people where maybe there's a little bit of ADD. You know, I really liked speech. I liked debate. I liked theater. I liked communication. I liked writing. And so when I got out of school, and I kind of left school at kind of a young age, as a matter of fact, I didn't even graduate from high school, you know, I had to figure out, well, what will somebody pay me the most for? And there were a lot of opportunities, quote-unquote, called sales, which essentially would just pay you for results. So, you know, I liked the challenge and I liked the opportunity to make big money based off of what I could do versus, you know, the piece of paper I had in some frame from some school. And, you know, so sales was just kind of a natural fit for me as somebody who, you know, like to debate, like to speak, like to communicate, you know, like to, you know, figure it all out and kind of win people over, so to speak. And so, you know, building relationships and things like that were something that came easier to me than the alternative, which was, you know, going to school for a really long time, or at least that's what it seemed like to me at the time.
Okay. So did you get your GED or?
Yeah, I got an equivalency. Later on,
yeah.
I did go back to school, and I went to college and took some courses. And I didn't graduate, but I took a bunch of courses. And then a little bit later on after that, I found out there was a program at Harvard where if you made a certain amount of money and you had a certain number of people reporting to you, you could take classes for CEOs at Harvard. So then I actually went to Harvard, and I took a couple courses. One was on negotiation, and I didn't graduate from Harvard either. But over the years, you know, especially in my 20s, I just learned how to customize my education. So I started seeking out opportunities where I could learn very specifically what I wanted to know and what I thought was valuable to myself. And, you know, I brought on a lot of mentors. I read a lot of books. If there was a course or there was a seminar, you know, I was there. But I have a very interesting, diverse, customized education from over the years. But technically, I didn't finish high school. Technically, I didn't finish college. And technically, I didn't, you know, graduate or getting a certificate. Well, I do have a certificate from Harvard, but it's a certificate for just a course. So, I mean, technically, I don't have any diplomas or degrees at all.
Wow. And look at you now.
Yeah, I've got an office in Beverly Hills. I sometimes have clients on my sailboat. I live in Laguna Beach, you know. Yeah, it's kind of unusual. I'm 37 years old, you know, and, you know, look, I've got my troubles and trials like everybody else. I've made millions. I've lost millions. I've made a lot of money back again. So, yeah, I've kind of done it sort of a different way, but it's worked for me.
Now, I'm a stylist. I have a teacher's degree. It's not really a college degree, but it's a – I took schooling to be a teacher. So I'm recognized in this, you know, as a cosmetology teacher. And right now I'm not teaching. I have decided to go to the salon and work now, you know, because I taught for 7 years. And now I'm doing my stuff in a salon. But I'm finding myself, too, I'm taking all the extra classes and things that I find with hair, like updo classes, color classes, hair shows. You know, I'm still hitting all that stuff just to keep educated and up on the new stuff, new trends, you know?
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely.
You have to, yeah. Or you're not going to succeed. I mean, you can be a cookie cutter, you know? So, David, we do have to take a break. So,
sure.
And it'll be minutes. So, I'm sorry. I'm like trying to find the right buttons here. So, everybody out there, hang tight, and we'll be right back with Cougar Chat. Hey, Jen, do you know where we can get some great T-shirts?
We should use Dark Side, Inc. They're a unique apparel company that strives to give the customer the most diversified choices in design. We could get some rockin' T-shirts from them. All merchandise and original artwork is done in-house, so we need to give them a call at 508-676-6606 or go to darksideinc.com. And until next time, remember, everyone has a dark side. Do you enjoy the paranormal? Then don't miss out on this event, Ghost Stock, in one of the country's oldest and most haunted cities, Savannah, Georgia. Dates are March 7th through the 9th. You'll meet and greet with people like Brian Kano from Sci-Fi's Haunted Collector, Scott Tepperman from Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters International, and Patrick Burns from True TV's Haunting Evidence, and so much more. Tickets for attendees and vendors are going fast, so don't miss out. Go to ghoststock.com for more details. Hey, New Jersey. Need work done on your BMW or other fine car? Montclair Motorworks in Montclair, New Jersey offers fast, reliable service with competitive pricing. With a BMW tech on site, they also have a state inspection station. Let Montclair Motorworks help you. Call them today at 973-744-9839. That's 973-744-9839.
Does this sound like your sex life? Kick things up a notch. Take Raw Nation's Hot Rocks. It's the only certified organic vegan libido enhancer for both men and women on the market. Enhance your sexual performance and notice a huge improvement in your energy level, focus, mood, your overall vitality. Hot Rocks has no harsh chemicals that can cause negative side effects. Go to HotRawKS.com to learn how Hot Rocks can change your life. HotRawKS.com. Open up and stay raw.
Hey, and welcome back to Cougar Chat Radio. My name is Michelle with special guest David T. Fagan. Welcome back, David.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me tonight. All right, where we left off, I wanted to ask, what motivates the motivator?
Ah, wow, good question. The leader's leader, the coach's coach, the motivator's motivator. You know, for me, it's really being able to transform things. You know, I like the whole concept of before and after, you know, taking something that, you know, really is just a bunch of potential and then helping it live up to its potential. You know, anything, you know, I've been involved in real estate in the past and, you know, fixing something up there, you know, helping people lose weight and get in shape, and that's a lot of fun. You know, taking somebody who just has an idea for a business or they're just kind of starting out and to help kind of build their brand and just go kind of from zero to hero. I also have had the chance to work with, you know, musicians and, you know, celebrities who, you know, they're kind of just ready for a comeback. and you know, maybe they don't even look at it like that. They probably wouldn't appreciate me saying their names. But you know, we've had some people that have done really well, but they just weren't as relevant anymore. And so, you know, they wanted to work on it. You know, they wanted to come back and reinvent themselves. And that's, you know, that's just a lot of fun for me, to just, you know, see that transformation. And I also think, too, that, you know, it's just a matter of also, you know, helping more people and growing my own brand. And I'm sure that carries over a little bit into, you know, a legacy that I hope to leave for my kids, but even more right now, a legacy for my team. You know, I've got a great team, some great people that work for me, and I think the one thing that drives me is I see how hard they work, you know, for me and for our clients, and so, you know, I'm inspired by showing them, you know, what their life, you know, can be like as we, you know, hit new heights and as we accomplish, you know, new goals. And, you know, that just, it really drives me, you know, it really excites me. And I like kind of the challenge of it all, too. You know, I'm kind of one of those people where I want to be the guy when the bases is loaded and it's the ninth inning and, you know, you're down by three and you need that grand slam. I mean, I really get excited by those moments where, you know, you need someone just to come in and just make it happen. I feel like that's where I sort of rise to the occasion the most.
The biggest challenge is your best.
Yeah, it can. It can really bring out the best in you, absolutely. Absolutely. But, no, I love to create. There's three words on my website, davidgfagan.com. It's kind of sums up what I'm all about, and it's inspire, create, and perform. And that's what I'm all about. I love inspiring people. And I love, you know, finding things that inspire us all. Inspiration is huge. And creating, you know, I believe we're all, you know, creators, and we all create at different levels, and we're all born creators. And so I love helping people find their outlet to create something, to create a script, to create a book, to create music, to create a message, you know, to create a service, to create a product, you know. So I love the idea and concept of creating. And last one is performance. You know, I love helping people perform at a really high level. So taking somebody who's doing good and helping them do great, again, that transformation is just a lot of fun for me.
Right. I know we talked about a couple of celebrities. I don't need to bring their names up again, but is there such thing as bad publicity? Like, you're not going to come back? Like,
yeah. Well, sure. You know, one of my mentors, you know, Michael Levine, who wrote the foreword for my book, Cracking the Icon Code, you know, he's on Good Morning America all the time, and, you know, he's represented some pretty big names, and, you know, one of the people that he represented was Michael Jackson, you know, and he represented Michael Jackson through some of the toughest times that Michael ever had, you know, when it came to things with kids and kids spending the night and, you know, speaking for Michael. But in my own opinion, you know, I just don't see any good that's gonna come out of that. So, yeah, is there publicity that's just too bad? Absolutely. Now, there are a lot of things that are just controversial, and it's great to be controversial. Madonna totally knows how to be controversial. Lady Gaga totally knows how to be controversial. You know, there are some people that they really know how to play the game, and they do a lot of harmless little things to be controversial. You know, Miley Cyrus over the last year, you know, she did a lot of controversial things, but at the end of the day, they're all pretty harmless. I mean, she's not really, you know, she's not hurting anybody but maybe herself, and, you know, we can all be the judge of that. But, you know, she did a good job of being controversial. What's that?
And you said we can be the judge of that, and I was like, yeah, we are. We do judge her.
Oh.
But, you know, she probably has a plan. She,
well,
she's
yeah,
not dumb.
You know, look, I'm
sure she has a plan.
I think she's a lot smarter than people give her credit for. I mean,
yeah.
She has broken out of a good girl image. She is attracting, you know, a little bit of an older group of people. You know, she has proved to be, you know, more than just a teenage star. People do not as easily think about her as, you know, you know, the some of the TV, you know, episodes and, you know, all these. Yeah. I mean, here I could even think of the name. My mind would say this. It's working. It's working. So she is breaking that. You know, will she go too far? That's a good question. Sometimes when people are having fun being bad, they also get addicted, you know. Then it's they're having a hard time, you know, fixing that problem. So they exchange one problem for another. But, no, I think a lot of times, you know, publicity is good. You know, you want to be relevant. You want to be in the headlines. You know, it's okay to get into a little bit of trouble. But it also depends a lot on what is your brand. You know, you've really got to understand what your brand is and what your audience is. You know, there are things that Howard Stern and, you know, some of these, you know, Eminem, you know, some of these people, that's their brand. You know, they can be bad all day long, swear all day long, party all day long, and it helps them. You know, it's a big part of their brand. Now, on the flip side, you know, Vanessa Hudgens, who was star of, you know, High School Musical, you know, she kind of got herself into trouble a little prematurely, and all of her fans at the time were very young. And so, you know, you start alienating your own fans. You know, that's a tough way to go. So you got to make sure that you know who your fans are, and make sure you kind of proceed, you know, appropriately.
I did want to throw out the call-in number. If anybody listening would like to call in and ask David a question, the phone number is 661-244-9818. Love to hear from you. So I wanted to talk a little more about your new book that just recently came out. Get you going on that. Now, you have, what, 5 or 6 books that
Yeah, I've got several books. A lot of people know me as the former CEO of Guerrilla Marketing. You know, J. Conrad Levinson, that was another mentor of mine. He's the famous ad exec that worked at the Leo Burnett ad agency, who created Marlboro Man, Tony's Frosted Flakes, Jolly Green Giant, Morris the Cat, Lonely Maytag Sales, and, you know, Die Hard Battery. So, you know, he was really an icon himself, and he wrote a book called Guerrilla Marketing in 1984, and later on I joined up as the CEO, and we wrote some books together. But my most recent book is a book called Cracking the Icon Code, and that book is really all about, you know, how do you become an icon in your industry, and how do you monetize an icon status? You know, what some people find is, they'll get a bunch of views on YouTube, or, you know, they'll get a bunch of fans on social media. People will love them. You know, people, you know, maybe they'll hear them speak and they're just thoroughly entertained. But these people don't necessarily know how to make any money off of what they're doing. And so what we do is we show them, you know, different vehicles to monetize it, you know, like how to create maybe an informational product, you know, how to become maybe a paid speaker, you know, maybe how to get on a reality television show, or, you know, how to write a book, or how to create a membership program where people pay you every month to be a part of, you know, some type of membership or some kind of subscription type service. So there's things like that that we discuss kind of in the book. You know, first, how do you create that icon status? How do you get testimonials and endorsements, and how do you feature on the media and win awards? And, you know, all those things are what we call social proof, meaning there are third-party organizations and people that are saying all these great things about you. And that social proof is kind of what can also help create that icon status, and then from there you can try to monetize it.
Now, one of these books I'm just looking at, Mad Ads, Advertising on Main Street Budget Thing.
Yes.
Hello? Okay. I thought I heard, did you like scream or something?
No. You're hearing
you're lying. Oh, my God. You messed with my head. I'm hearing noises.
No,
I hear voices in my head. Did
no,
you sneeze?
I started to say something, but that was it.
Okay.
Steady. Steady right. As she goes.
Okay. So, the one thing that just drew my attention just now was the advertising. And with cracking the icon code, is there a certain market of advertising that goes with that?
Not necessarily. I think if I had to lump it into any one category, I would say it's probably online. You know, it's social media, it's internet, you know, it's Facebook, YouTube, mm-hmm. Twitter, LinkedIn. You know, it's all those kinds of things. So that's probably where it's a little bit more focused. No, we have involvement with a lot of different things. Probably other than the internet, probably just as strong as the internet is the traditional media, meaning, you know, television, radio, newspapers, magazines, things like that. So we spend a lot of time helping clients get in that. I mean, here in the last 6 months, I've been in Forbes, I've been at LA Business Journal, The Wrap, you know, on and on. And, you know, that's because of, you know, media contacts and knowing how the media works and getting, you know, featured and asked those kind of questions. So those are probably two of the biggest areas. Actually, your next two, guests are clients of mine. And so you got Marcello Fedford coming up.
Yes.
So Marcello Fedford, you know, he's been on Sons of Anarchy, Employee of the Month with Dane Cook and Jessica Simpson, and, you know, produced a lot of things and just, you know, been in a lot of things. And so here's a guy who does really well as a certain kind of actor and producer, but he's also owned a restaurant down in Cabo San Lucas, you know, and, you know, has all kinds of business. And he's with a woman named Trina McGee, and she was off a TV show called Boy Meets World, and now they're doing Girl Meets World, and she's been on a bunch of other stuff too. But in addition to that, she's an artist, and she sells paintings, and, you know, people come to her for fitness and health and things like that. So, you know, there's two people right there that are classic Hollywood entrepreneurs, and although they're very knowledgeable in the Hollywood circles when it comes to, say, the internet or the media, that's new to them. The week after Marcello, you have a guy named Carlton Wilburn, who's another client of mine, coincidentally. And Carlton, you know, he won the GLAAD Award for a role he played on The Mentalist, and then he just had a role on NCIS. But he also has written a book, and he's also a public speaker, and he's very entertaining, and he's very moving and very transformational. And so, you know, we'll represent him and book him. And I just went and watched one of his films here at the Pan-African Film Festival here in L.A. But here's the guy who, he's got a ton of other, you know, talents and passions. And so he's out, you know, doing a lot of different things, as most of us entrepreneurs like. You know, it keeps us, I think one of the things you find out with entrepreneurs is, you know, there's almost a little bit of ADD or ADHD, you know, because we like to do a lot of different things. And so, you know, these are great examples of clients of mine, because not only are they in Hollywood and on TV and in movies, but, you know, they're also writing books and they're speaking and they're coaching and they're training people and they're giving back, and they want to make money through their other talents. And so that's a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, so when one thing fails, well, maybe not even fails, but slows down, they have something to fall back on.
Well, yeah. You know, it's really rare, again, that people can outlast a generation. You know, we were just talking about how teenagers become adult stars, you know, and then, you know, how does somebody that was maybe a star in their 20s become a star in their 30s or 40s? And you see this a lot with women. You know, women, you know, they play a certain type of character in these romantic comedies, but as they get to be, you know, older and older, it gets harder. As a matter of fact, there was a big controversy a few years back, a few years ago because a lot of people hated IMDb because a lot of these women actresses, they looked a lot younger and they could play a lot younger, but people would start looking at their ages and start talking about their ages all the time, and they really, you know, they really hated that. You know, Marcia Cross, who's a part of the California Women's Conference that we did a magazine for, she was on one of the covers. You know, she was one of the people in the headlines, you know, saying, hey, you know, I don't want the world to know what my age is, you know. They kind of felt like it hurts my chances. And so, again, that just kind of proves the point that, yeah, as the years go on, it can be very hard for a lot of these stars to keep reinventing themselves, and there's just not as many roles for a woman in her 60s as there is for a woman in her 20s, you know.
Yeah, I think men probably have a better chance at it. I mean, George Clooney, you know, he could keep going.
You know,
so he was 90,
yeah,
and he'll be the same guy.
Yeah. There are some double standards for both men and women. But, yeah, one of the things that the guys get away with, you know, for a lot longer is there are just more roles for aging men than there are for aging women. That's absolutely true.
And even with guns, shoot them up, blow them up, guys are into. you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, Arnold Schwarzenegger's doing movies again. Sylvester Stallone's doing movies again. Bruce Willis is still doing movies. You know, Morgan Freeman. I can't believe Morgan Freeman's still doing music. You know, Robert Redford just did a movie with nothing but himself and a sailboat. You know, all is lost. You know, and he's pushing 80. You know, these guys are still just doing tons of movies left and right.
I think another one, Tom Hanks. I think he's going to keep going.
Oh, sure. He'll be able to act for as long as he wants to.
Yeah. It's just some that will never go away, which is good, but for the women out there, I mean, like Sandra Bullock, how long does she have on the screen? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, thanks to the movie Gravity, she probably has a long time now. But if you go back and look at the female stars that played opposite, you know, Clint Eastwood and Robert Redford and all these guys, Bruce Willis, look at who played them, and then now look and see where they're at. Like Talia Shire, you know, she played Adrian in the Rocky movies, right? She's not on anything anymore. She was in the Godfather series. She was in the Rocky series. You know, she's a niece of Francis Ford Coppola. You know, very good actress, but she's not anything. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you can just go through there and you can just see all these women who were opposite these guys before. These guys, they're all continuing, but most of the stars that played opposite or played their love interest or whatever, you know, most of them aren't anything. And they're not doing as much anymore, if anything at all.
I think some people too, they get branded. I mean, like, who can I use? Like Lucille Ball. She did many a movie, but it was all comical. You know? So she could not, I don't think she ever got out of the comical scene.
Right.
You know, once
Nowadays, things have changed a lot, and that's one of the things that, you know, we can help with and we encourage people to do is, you know, getting out and getting into, you know, small films, independent films. And the independent films have been very good for people because it gives them a chance to be seen in a different way. So they can go out and do an independent film, you know, play an entirely different character, and it can really, you know, rejuvenate, you know, their career to be seen in another way. So, you know, there's just so many more options out there. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but history was really made in this last year because for the first time ever, we had an award-winning show that came straight from the Internet. You know, House of Cards, you know, was a show that's just on Netflix. I mean, it's on no show at all. You couldn't watch it on television, satellite, anything. It's only on the Internet. And Robin Wright Penn, a great example of a woman who, you know, was famous for The Princess Bride and kind of had a few movies here or there, but never really did anything, was never really successful. But thanks to a whole new medium, a whole new vehicle of film, you know, she just won, an award a month ago or so, for her role in the TV show House of Cards, playing opposite, you know, Kevin Spacey. You know, even a year or two ago, that option didn't even exist. So there are a lot of opportunities out there for people that just weren't there a few years ago.
And I got to say, I have not watched that show yet, but I don't have Netflix, or I haven't even looked at anything of that. I'll have to one day, though, because it is on the Internet, so I just squeeze into the schedule there.
Yep, there we go. Back to time again. Back to time.
Yeah, it's timing.
Tough thing to make time for. I hear you.
Yeah.
But it is a good show. It's very interesting. If you're involved in business and if you're involved in negotiations and communications, very interesting, because a lot of it is watching Kevin Spacey's character, how he gets people to essentially do what he wants to do. And it's very interesting. Even though in his role it's all about politics, you kind of learn a lot about persuasion. You know, how do you persuade somebody? And let's face it, we all have somebody that we want them to do something. You know, I don't care if it's trying to get your kids to do something or your employees to do something or your husband or wife to do something. You know, we're always trying to persuade people. And so it's, you know, that kind of stuff really fascinates me.
Persuade, manipulate, kind of sort of.
Well, you know, it's very funny. It's very funny you say that. You know, manipulation has a very negative connotation to it, but yet, it has a lot to do with what your intent is. You know, is the intent of your heart? You know, like, you know, I manipulate my children all the time, but you know, I'm manipulating them to keep them safe. I'm manipulating them so that they'll learn. I'm manipulating them so they'll have the right kind of experiences that will help them become self-reliant. You know, but yeah, the word manipulate just has a lot of negative connotations to it.
Yeah. Now, we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to ask, now, of course, I already know the answer, but what is the weirdest pair of shoes that you have worn when speaking at an event?
Well, yeah, I've kind
of... At least I think I know.
Yeah, I wear a pair of Spider-Man slippers with a big head of Spider-Man on top. You know, I've been at some black tie events, and I've won some awards, and we're all there in tuxes, and, you know, I've come out in Spider-Man slippers, and, you know, I'm kind of glad you brought that up, actually, because, you know, it's a very good point to something that I teach a lot of people, and that is you have to make your presence felt. You know, so much of today is about being memorable, being fascinating, being intriguing. And that's how people get on reality television. It's not because, obviously, they're the smartest or they've accomplished the most, but the people that are on reality television, which basically, you know, runs, you know, the networks these days, is people that are fascinating and intriguing, you know? I mean, the reason why, you know, the Kardashians have had so much success on television, which has led into many other areas of life, is because they're fascinating. They're intriguing. Even when it's bad, you can't look away. And I'm not talking just about the Kardashians. I'm talking about all these shows. I mean, Survivor,
yeah,
I mean, what is it, like 20 seasons now? I mean, Big Brother, 20-plus seasons? American Idol, The Voice, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, it's nuts how long and how much power these shows yield. But it's all about finding people and showing the world these fascinating, intriguing people. And how do you do that? You've got to make your presence felt. It's kind of that peacock. It's kind of that ability to stand out rather than blend in. And so, yeah, there are times where I will go places and I will dress a little differently, you know, so that I will, you know, be memorable. It's important.
So what's the purpose behind Spider-Man?
Oh, I'm a Spider-Man fan.
Why not
Batman? I'm a comic book fan. You know, sometimes I'll make corny jokes like make more money on the web, you know, and I'll do, you know, just kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff like that. But actually how it happened the very first time is I had the slippers with me. I didn't have my shoes with me. They called me back on to speak at this big event, and I really wasn't ready, so I just grabbed these slippers and I just walked on the stage, and everybody loved it so much, I actually started doing it more.
Nice. I saw that, and I thought that was, like, so adorable. It was just, of course, you know, you've got to stand out, you know? And
absolutely.
Having your eight kids stand behind you while doing a conference would make you stand out, too. So just keep that in mind. But remember, I came up with that idea.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Well, David, it's been great talking to you. And, gosh, you know, you're welcome to come back anytime. You know, it's been a pleasure, and hopefully somebody out there learned something, and hopefully they want to be icons and get in touch with you. How would they do that if they want to reach out to you, talk to you?
Just go to iconbuildermedia.com, iconbuildermedia.com, or davidtfagan.com, either one of those, and all the information they would need would be there.
All right, great. Again, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for spending the time with me and the rest of the Cougars. So until next time, what's these three words you have? I got them right
inspire,
here.
Create,
inspire,
perform.
Inspire, create,
and perform.
All right. So do it, be it, and be successful. And best wishes to
all
you,
right.
David. Thanks again.
Thanks, Michelle. Bye-bye.
Bye, hon. And that's going to conclude Cougar Chat Radio. Thanks for joining me tonight. Find us on Twitter at Cougar Chat Radio and find us on Facebook. All right? Have a good night and see you next week. Much love.